Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Friday, and welcome to Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Each week, Brenda brings you interesting guests and timely topics to uplift and motivate you to be all that you can be today and for all your tomorrows. Join Brenda and Alive to Thrive every Friday at noon Central Time, right here on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Brenda Fraser.
My name is Brenda Fraser, and I wanted to start off today with Michael Franti singing Hey, I Love You. The lyrics of that song just reminded me so much of the guests we're having on the show today from the group called Human St. Louis. We'll be talking about this phenomenon that's taking place throughout St. Louis and throughout New York City, probably in other cities too around the country. I just first have a couple of announcements today. First, a shout out to Patrice and all the great folks over at Butterfly and Moon, the wonderful artists, the different people we have part of the Butterfly Moon Boutique at 814 South Main Street. There is a Meet the Artist event tomorrow on Saturday from 4 to 6. It's with angel painter Jody Hart from Illinois, and Jody paints beautiful angels. She's also an angel card reader, and she is going to be sharing some tips on how to connect with your angels, how to name your angel, and that's from 4 to 6 tomorrow at Butterfly and Moon. The event is totally free. There'll be angel food, cake, and angel cookies, so it's a fun event. Other events coming up this summer at Butterfly and Moon include Create Your Own Mosaics with Vintage Jewelry, and that will take place on Sunday, August 30th from 4 to 7 with artist Barb Lillis. So, I want to welcome Carolyn Fish with Two Alive to Thrive. Carolyn and I have only met virtually. She has met a lot of people that way, my guess. Carolyn, welcome to Alive to Thrive.
Hi. Actually, this is Lindy, Carolyn's partner, Lindy Drew.
Oh, hi, Lindy. Sorry about that. I got the two of you mixed up. Yep, that probably happens. It happens to me all the time with the Butterfly and Moon. I'm always being called Patrice, my business partner. So welcome, Lindy.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you for having us on the show.
Well, I just read a little bit about you from not only your Facebook page, but an article that was in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch earlier this year, I guess it was in March, talking about how this group got started. So tell us a little bit about how you and your business partner got connected, and tell us about how you started this group called Humans of St. Louis.
Yeah, definitely. So I met Carolyn Fish, my partner, while we were students at Washington University. She graduated last year from the Brown School of Social Work, and I'm still in school for one more year, actually, doing a master's in social work and public health. And we had a mutual friend, Dee Nichols, introduce us, and Carolyn had this idea to bring the Humans of New York movement to St. Louis, because it's been popping up in a lot of different cities, and our city didn't have one yet. And I thought, okay, well, I don't know what this is. So she said, you know what, go check it out when you get home and let's talk about it. And I saw it and I started following it and I thought it was a really good idea. So when we had free time in between classes, we just started to go out and photograph and talk to people on the street and get a feel for what the interview process would be like and if people would be warm and accepting to it. And they were. So we banked images for a couple months. And when we felt like we had a good amount of diversity to show, we released the project one day. And we really just changed the banners on our personal website, contacted a few people to let them know we were going to launch, but not too many. And then it just started to take on a life of its own.
Things happen that way with social media. We love it. We love it here at Blog Talk. And we love that you were inspired by photographer Brandon Stanton of New York City. I read that he had started in the summer of 2010 trying to take a photographic census of the people of New York. And he went on to blog about that, and from 100 followers, present count is over 12 million people. Unbelievable. I haven't seen his blog yet. I mean, I clicked on it. I haven't seen it yet, and I know he has a book coming out later this year, so maybe we can get him on Alive to Thrive. I'm sure that, you know, a picture, they always say a picture says 1,000 words. So what are some of the pictures that you've personally witnessed that just speak volumes of a condition or of a story?
Sure, good question. Well, to go back to what you were saying, first of all, we're very thankful for Brandon for starting the movement in general. And he's been, it seems like he's been really open to having all these other web pages pop up in different cities. And it's kind of nice that he's allowed anyone to run with it and bring their own style and take to it as well. Because there's probably over 300 Humans of pages and on Facebook right now, which is pretty neat. As far as the St. Louis one, I think because Carolyn and I, we have a lot in common, especially from being interested in social work. And so people might notice that a lot of the stories that we're presenting do have a social work, public health slant to them. So we're still asking similar questions that Brandon's probably asking. They're very open-ended. We're trying to get to the heart of a particular instance or story or situation and let people actually drive the conversation themselves. And just by asking these questions, you'd be amazed at, you know, how they're opening up, which is pretty neat. So I guess some of the stories that have particularly stood out to me as far as photography have just been the ones when I'm on my bike and I roll up to people and ask them, hey, do you mind if I take your photograph? And from there, a conversation happens. And I think the close-up pictures I'm able to get of people, the portraits, are sometimes my most favorite because, like they always say, the eyes are the window to the soul. But it's pretty neat to also have this conversation with someone, too, and be able to play, you know, both layers in the story with the image and whatever it is that they're willing to share with you. And so my hope is that when people see the pictures, they're drawn in from that part first, and then they're able to read the story to get a little bit of information behind the person and a little bit of, something personal that they're willing to share with the audience as well.
I think that's what makes it so special, is that it's so authentic, that there's no agenda. And so many times, unfortunately, with major media, the reporter telling the story can tell a different story by the various pictures that are shown. I know this was a big topic of conversation around the Michael Brown death and situation, which pictures the media showed of him, one that showed him in his cap and gown or one that kind of implied that he was, not a citizen that, you know, people could identify with. But you have pictures that everyone can identify with because they're human. They show the soul. They show the real humanness of it. Have you been surprised at how it spread here in St. Louis in terms of followers and then an article in the newspaper?
Yeah, it's been really great to see how well it's been received because, of course, our friends at the university know that we're behind it, but sometimes a lot of other people don't. So it's neat to get their feedback. And then even when we meet people on the street and we tell them what we're doing, if they've heard of it, they get really nervous. They're like, oh, I don't know what to say. I always thought about what I would want to share if someone asked me a question. And honestly, the neatest part for us is we consider the photography and the interview and the editing process really is only half of the work. And we're noticing that as soon as we put the picture up, the other half is really the contributors. So the story is not really, it hasn't come full circle until we post it. And then when people are able to comment and to jump into the conversation like they do or share something or volunteer to give back in a certain way or write us behind the scenes, that's when the art kind of feels like it's coming to life for us, especially as the people who are, you know, kind of behind it.
I love that.
And to just speak a little.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, to speak a little bit about the Mike Brown part, too. That was a great point that you made. Traditional media definitely had, I think, a way that they were portraying the events of Mike Brown in the beginning. And we had one particular viewer who wrote us behind the scenes, and they said, hey, Hostel, are you going down there to Canfield in order to show what's going on in a different light? And, you know, of course, we wanted to be able to be down there as soon as we heard about the information as well. And so we were able to share some stories from the people on the street, which we thought would speak to a larger audience. And interestingly enough, it was interesting because we were kind of primed and ready to do stories. Having the following that we had at that point, we may have had 13,000 or 17,000 people. So unfortunately what happened in the city happened, but Hostel was ready, I think, to be able to dive into those conversations and do that through the interview process and just showing the pictures and letting the story kind of unfold with however people wanted to contribute to have conversation about a variety of topics that ended up coming out of the woodwork as a result of Mike Brown.
So, I mean, have you ever been scared to be riding around neighborhoods on your bike by yourself or to go down to, you know, the tense situation that was happening in Ferguson? Have you ever met a situation where you did not feel prepared to handle?
I think a lot of people ask me that question. It's such a good question. And I never have. And I honestly think it's due to a lot of reasons. I mean, I was really excited to come to St. Louis for school, and I was excited to explore different neighborhoods in St. Louis like I usually do when I live in new places. And I think there are certain things that you hear about new cities when you get there, like you shouldn't go to this side or you shouldn't go to that side or north of this isn't so safe or south of this isn't so safe. And I think like anywhere you have to be careful no matter where you're at in your surroundings. And more importantly, like when you're carrying heavy camera equipment, you're by yourself, maybe people wouldn't think that's the safest thing to do in some places. But, you know, when I'm on my bike and I have my camera strapped around my back, I try to just go into any neighborhood as someone who's curious. And when I approach people, I'm cautious, but at the same time, I'm doing it with good intention. And you'd be surprised how many people all around St. Louis have said, you know what, I have time for a conversation. What are you looking for? And what do you do? And, yeah, I'd be glad to talk to you. And as soon as
That's
you
awesome.
Get past that, yeah, you get past this certain level or layer. And everyone's mm-hmm. human, and that's what the project is about that Brandon's presenting, and that's what we've been trying to get to the heart of through this past year as well.
I love it.
So, yeah, so you'd be surprised.
I love
Some
that because
I
lived in that comment about certain streets and the certain lines that not to cross in certain cities. I lived in Washington, D.C. on Capitol Hill right after college in the early 80s, and you know, I was told, don't go two blocks this way. You know, this is that's the bombed out buildings from the riots of, you know, 68 or something. And don't go this direction and don't go that. You know, and I was never a victim of a crime like I have been in my own private home, first in Denver mm-hmm. with people coming in. And then, you know, in a very rural part of Missouri, that's most people, if you know, 10 out of 10 people would say, where I live now is, like, so safe and so all this stuff. And we had two two kids from the rural area high on heroin come into our home. So, you know, crime can happen anywhere, and then humans are humans everywhere, and there's good everywhere, and there's stories that need to be shared, and very rich stories. I love the story that the Post talked about, the couple that had bought a house that was really run down for $6,000, and the Reese's, I guess it was, Monique and Marion, and how after you put that story up or that photo up, all of this community response came forward where people wanted to help and get involved and give back. What's the current situation there? We'll just recap that whole story for our listeners.
Yeah, that's been a beautiful story. We're still in the works with it, too. So I went out one day with a friend, because sometimes my friends will say, hey, can I contribute? I'd love to go interview with you. So we ended up meeting Monique on the stoop of her house. She was walking out, and I told her what the project was, and she agreed to be photographed with her husband. And her story was so endearing. She had said, you know, we bought this house. It's really run down and, you know, dilapidated. For $6,000, we found it on Craigslist. And her husband said, you know, honey, I think it's our dream home. And they just had so much life when they told us the story. And then you take this photograph of them, and it's just, it's a mess. Like, it needed so much work. And they had the heart to put into it and the time, and they're newlyweds as well. So we ended up showing the picture, and people had such a good response to it that I think the day we posted it, I went back to their home, knocked on the door. They weren't home, and I just left a note. I was like, hey, it's Lindy. Remember I took your picture for Hostel. You should check out the site if you haven't already, because you have a bunch of fans. So they contacted us, and I thought, this is so great. One gentleman in particular, Chris Ferreira, he ended up replying to the post just as a regular viewer, commentator, and his remark got one of the most liked, most views or most likes or whatever for the story that day. And all he had said is, you know what, who wants to get together as a community and help these people get their house up and going? And we thought it was so nice. He didn't reach out to me. He didn't reach out to Monique, per se. So we followed up with them. And we got together one day when they were deciding to meet, and I was there for the conversation. And Chris just wanted to be a good neighbor and help out. And he'd done a lot of work in Joplin, Missouri, after the tornado a while back. So he was prepared, I think, to bring on a little crew and do some community outreach as well. And so we started to organize for them. And that story was happening around the same time that Brian Stanton's story about the school district in New York City had happened, where he raised like $1,500,000 for them, not knowing it was going to be that. And I had my my attention on that story in particular. And so I was thinking, as I went out shooting that week or those couple weeks, like, I wonder what Hostel could do that'll be uniquely humans of St. Louis, right? Because what Honey does is just magnificent. And I think that he's a model for a lot of the other sites. And I'm always kind of thinking of that in my head when I go out and shoot and what he's done. I think about classes at school and what we talk about as far as social work, public health, and just the human experience. And honestly, Carolyn, since this was her idea from the get-go, she's been a great role model for me in this whole thing, because I might have an idea about something and want to push it in one direction. She's like, okay, pull the reins back a little. Here's what I'm kind of thinking. Or, you know what, let's run with it. Like, don't be so scared. Let's put it out there. And so just as a partner to have her to work with for the whole art of this whole thing and making it come together has been phenomenal. So when I asked her, you know what, can we push this story a little more in one direction? She said, you know what, let's go with it. Let's see how the viewers respond. So we've been able to follow up with them a few times now, every month or every couple months. And right now, I think they're trying to get the electricity figured out. And then from there, they're going to clean up the side lots that are empty next to them. And they've painted the whole thing on the inside. And hopefully they'll be ready to have a housewarming party soon.
Well, I've been looking at their Facebook page, and I do want to mention that. So if anyone does want to get involved, or if you're an electrician or know anyone that has those skills, just search on Facebook for the Reese, R-E-E-S-E, Family Renovation. This group already has more than 300 members, and there are volunteers going down and just donating some time to paint, clean up. I just get goosebumps, you know, because I always say, why does it take a disaster to get people to respond to, you know, situations like Joplin, of course, but there are things all the time in our community that people have tend to look the other way and, you know, don't know how to get involved. And so I think this is so fantastic. Have you thought about starting your own nonprofit organization after you graduate with your master's?
We are thinking about what we should do with Hostel right now because obviously there's a need for it in the community. You can see that the people are they're responding well to it. And we loved feeding it. Like, so much fun going out on the street, getting these stories, and then seeing the reaction of people too, right? Because really it's just a conversation between me and another person a lot of times or a few people, and you put it out there to the public, and it's really neat to see what they're thinking and what added value they're able to bring to it. So Carolyn and I are thinking about making it a business. We're not sure which route we want to take it, but we've had some really fun ideas for how we might like to kind of amplify its voice a little bit more. And so this summer we're going to work a little bit more on that and kind of be cautious, you know, but take steps slowly to kind of move it forward. And that's what we're thinking right now, yeah.
Have either of you been approached or have you thought of approaching the TEDx group here in St. Louis to be one of the speakers at an upcoming event?
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah, they have approached us a couple times. And so the first time we were able to show photography at a TEDx event. We had a running slideshow go on, which was really nice. And then they approached us again to do an actual talk, but unfortunately, I think that event fell through. So we'll have to see what will happen in the future with that, but we're definitely open to it. We'd love to.
Okay, great. And then have you been interviewed on public radio or public television here in St. Louis or at all?
First time, actually. What? The first time that someone's reached out, which, yeah, we're really glad about.
Wow. Okay. Alive to Thrive got the scoop outside of the outside of St. Louis Post Dispatch. You know, I don't know how I came across the page. Maybe I've been seeing the pictures. I actually have stopped reading print newspapers several years ago, more so because I wanted to read more positive messaging and do more spiritual type reading and affirmations and things like that. But I get a lot of news, you know, from social media, of course, being a blog talk host for 4 years, you know, always scrolling around social media for things that are popping up. And this kind of thing totally catches my attention because my whole background's been working with nonprofits. And I mentor someone who's from the city. I've known her for about 10 years at least. And I think there are so many stories, and I think it's just a matter of getting those stories out. And traditional media just doesn't have the space sometimes or the resources to get out there really on the ground real directly like you're doing and real grassroots. Have you met Brandon yet? Brandon Stanton, who started Human New York City? Humans of New York, have you ever encountered him in person or over Skype or anything?
No, we haven't. We'd love to, actually. That'd be amazing. The closest we've ever gotten to him was I interviewed somebody one time, and I said, "Hi, I'm with Humans of St. Louis. Would you mind doing an interview?" And he said, "You'll never guess. Brandon Stanton interviewed me and did an interview and highlighted me on his webpage," which was hilarious. So we put his picture up last year and put that, you know, he was interviewed by Brandon. But we reached out to Brandon in the beginning to ask permission to see if it would be okay. And then we didn't hear back from him. When we were ready to launch, we reached out again just to, you know, ask permission again, see what he thought. And we had seen so many other stories or so many other pages for the Humans of Movement that we thought, you know what, it must be something that someone just runs with if they're a photographer or an artist or a storyteller. So let's just put it out there and we'll see what happens. Interestingly enough, some other people from the Humans of Movement contacted us and they said that they started Facebook page, Behind the Scenes. So it's a closed Facebook group for the people who manage the Humans of Sites. And there we can all talk to each other and ask questions and give each other feedback, which is pretty cool because all around the world, different administrators have questions about maybe a picture that they show that an audience member may have taken it offensively or inappropriately, or another person who's trying to start their own book and publish something from the work that they've done. And so they're looking for support. And it's a great community of people.
That's just amazing. So there are some other, you said 300 other groups around the country. Are there any international yet?
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of international as well. I want to say that there's only about 300 because the lady who runs this website, she'll post every now and then the full list of people and which administrator is with which page in case we want to contact them for anything or just to know in general. And I think they're up to about 300, I think.
So I know I see that there is one in Denver. So I see that, you know, it's been referred to as Humans of St. Louis or Human of St. Louis. Which is it? Is it with an S or without an S?
The one that we have is Humans of St. Louis with an S. And for short, we're calling it HOSTL, as in H-O-S-T-L. Humans
I know,
of St.
that's kind of strange. It's kind
yeah.
of an oxymoron there. There was another great story we should talk about. Henry Biggs swam 27 miles around the island of Manhattan to raise money for education and mentoring opportunities for youth in Ferguson and North St. Louis County. Tell us about Henry Biggs and how you met him.
Honestly, Carolyn would speak better to that story because she knows him. I think she worked with him when she was working here in St. Louis. And so she had made a private post on her Facebook, and I saw it. And she had said, I think he's going strong in the East River today, so give him a shout-out. And I thought, that's so great. If we have a person who's from St. Louis and is doing this major feat in New York, we should highlight him. And so the connection is because of this. Some of the viewers might not know, but when Carolyn graduated school at WashU, she decided that it would be best to go back to New York, where her family is currently from. And so a couple months after we had launched HOSTL, she's like, Lynn, you know, I really want to keep this going, but I need to go find work, and I think the best place for me is in New York. So I said to her, I want to keep it going too. And considering we're running a web page, let's see what we can do if we keep running it with you at a distance. And I'll be in St. Louis, and you'll be there, and I'll do the pictures and the storytelling, and eventually we'll keep growing the team a little bit. But for the time being, do you think you can help me manage the site from afar? She's like, let's try it. And so honestly, for the whole year, that's what we've been doing. So when she found out about the story of Henry Biggs and how he was in New York, I said, hey, why don't you take a trip over to the East River and take a picture? And she had
right.
to work that day. But she was able to get in touch with him. I think he was back in St. Louis, actually, at the time. The photo that we showed is, like, courtesy of him and his family. But we thought that the connection between New York and Humans of St. Louis and honestly, you know, with Ferguson and raising money for youth in the area, especially with the anniversary of Mike Brown coming soon, there's just so many layers of it, and it just spoke to me. And I reached out to her and said, you know what, let's just try to do it. And so she called him, and over the phone she gave him an interview, and we ended up posting the picture that day. So hopefully it draws more viewers to his site as well, which is one of our big hopes as the people who are behind it. I mean, as a photographer, it's so hard to find work in general. And so I'm hoping that with the following that we have, if we're able to push the audience in other directions that maybe, you know, they might not have known about someone's artwork or someone's NGO or something interesting that's going on because maybe the news isn't covering it or hasn't covered it that much. We love sharing the audience with that as well, with those stories and those people as well.
Well, that's exactly the mission of Live to Thrive as well, is to show a spotlight on people making a difference and you know, give them some more visibility. So for Henry's cause, you can go to canhemakeit.com. And there is a donate now button there. He's raised to date $55,445, and he has a match from someone or a company, so $105,000 so far. So it shows what one person can do, and that's another thing we really want to, you know, encourage people to step out, take a chance. And there was a recent documentary I saw called One Piece at a Time, P-E-A-C-E. I'm not sure if you've seen that documentary, but it's a quote from the Dalai Lama talking about, you know, making change in the world and how do you do that. And it's, you know, one piece, P-E-A-C-E, at a time.
Yeah.
And it's a great documentary. You might like it if you haven't seen it yet. And that's, I think, what you're doing. You know, one picture at a time, you know, building peace, building bridges, creating awareness, getting people connected. And sometimes in an area, you know, it always surprises me, in an area where people sometimes aren't connected, I mean, there's so many great nonprofits doing great work, and often I hear people say, I don't know where to donate this clothing, or I don't know where to donate my time, or I'm bored, you know, I just can't even imagine any, you know, it just makes my skin crawl when someone says that, but, you know, to connect people up because it's so meaningful for them to give back, it helps them more than the people they're serving, it helps, it transforms the giver. And I was wondering if you've read The Go-Giver and if you're familiar with the Go-Giver movement.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so there's a great book by John David Mann. He's actually a past guest on Alive to Thrive of The Go-Giver, and it's just that philosophy of being out there and giving and paying it forward. And, you know, you guys are doing it with photography, but the photography sparks a movement, as you said. So what are some current projects you're working on? Are there pictures you have that you haven't released yet that you can share any share
good
with
question.
Us? Something's coming?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I love what you said, too, about, you know, how people can give back, and this is one way to do it if they hear about it through our storytelling. I think another part of Hostel in general, too, is just the individual part of the movement. Like, so much of what we do is the one-on-one conversation, and it's just amazing to sit down with a stranger and kind of pry a little bit, you know, in a very, like, non-pushy way and kind of see what's there. Because a lot of the time in St. Louis and anywhere, we're in our car, we drive around, and we don't get out. We just get from point A to point B, or we don't go to a certain neighborhood, you know, because we shouldn't, or we'll take another path or something. But I found it very comfortable and rewarding, actually, to, like, go into these places that aren't where I live or aren't where I go to school, and talk to anyone, no matter what they look like, how much money they make, what their past is, where they're headed. And we're hoping that that, too, speaks to people, you know, just to take out the monetary part, just the human side of things. So that part's been exciting. As far as, like, what other pictures we have, I think we're in a very interesting spot this summer because for school, since I'm still a student, I had to go, I had to invest some time to do an internship for my program. And my background is working with the Latin American culture in Phoenix, Arizona, and in South America. I'm from Phoenix originally. And so when the opportunity arose to be able to go abroad for a few weeks to be able to do this internship, I decided to come to Peru. So actually I'm calling you internationally right now. And it's been nice being able to juggle both things. And so before I left St. Louis, I talked to Carolyn and my other teammates and her hostel and asked them, you know, if we were able to pull this off and I could still go away somewhere else to take care of this part of another part of my life, which I love dearly, which is international social work, can you help me maintain the site? And they said, yeah, no problem. Let us know how we can help you. And so before I left, I went out like a madwoman and talked to a lot of people, and we ended up banking a lot of images. And so from Peru, I've been editing. And so what I'll do is the same thing that I'll do when I'm in St. Louis, and I'll get the stories and put a week's worth of stories together in a Word document. And then I'll mail it to Carolyn for feedback so she can help me out with wording and like the feel of it and the sentiment and the punctuation, and we'll edit the photos together, and she'll send it back to me. We'll okay it, and then she'll program everything for the week so that we don't always have to be, you know, on the internet at all times. And then we have some other friends on the team that are helping us to post it to the different social media outlets that we're on, and just kind of help us maintain the site. If someone has a question behind the scenes and writes in, they can help me out and help Carolyn out. Or as soon as I can get to internet, because I'm in this small village right now working for 7 weeks, then I can communicate with them as well. And so we're all in contact, and it's just been really helpful, I think, to work with the team and to know that, you know, the heart's behind it from so many levels. And even though Carolyn and I aren't there on the ground right now, our wish was that it could still be consistent and we wouldn't miss a beat. And hopefully we'll be able to pull it off when I get back in a few weeks.
So oh, my God. It is. It did not, like, totally click that you are calling from Peru today.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. Well, we want to honor your time. And, gosh, I know cell service, it costs a lot when you call internationally. But can you just tell us what you're doing in Peru? And then we'll wrap up early so that
you
can get back to your project. But tell us about the NGO you're working with. I went over to Ghana last fall, so I've done my volunteer experience, and I love it, and I want to do more of it. But tell us where you're working and what you're doing there.
I'd love to. Yeah, so I have some teachers in Peru who recently met a gentleman by the name of Dr. Luis Vasquez, and he's from Peru, but he grew up and worked as a cardiologist for years in Illinois and around the United States. But his mom is from a small town in Peru in the Peruvian Amazon called Yantalo, and the closest biggest city is called Moyobamba, and the closest airport is called Tarapoto. So I'm working in a small city called Yantalo. And for the past 10 years, this gentleman, Dr. Vasquez, has been building a rural health clinic in order to bring health care, public health, and education services to the people in the community and the surrounding area. So the health clinic is fully built. It still needs a little bit of materials that they're working on, but they bring doctors, nurses, and professional medical staff, as well as undergraduate and graduate students and interns from the United States mostly, but from around the world, and they do medical missions here for a week at a time. And so the idea, the reason I got connected is because some professors at my school had met him, and the social work program at Washington, the public health program, wanted to get some stronger ties in Latin America. And so with what he's doing here for the people in the community is exactly the type of thing that they were interested in growing. And so students like me who are interested in Latin American culture and where that intersection is of all these, you know, variety of different things can come down here and help out in any way they can. So what I'm doing down here is a community needs assessment to ask the people what they want from the clinic now that the clinic is built and what they see and what they would like for their future generation of people in Yantalo and the surrounding area so that they're able to get the services that they need that maybe they can't get from here. Because it's a very rural area, and if people need something in particular, like a surgery or whatnot, they have to fly to Lima a lot of the times to get that, and they don't have the funds to do it because they're very, very humble. They come from very humble families and backgrounds. So it's interesting because a lot of the stuff I'm doing here in Yantalo is similar to what I do with Hostel by approaching people, asking them questions, and I've been photographing them a little bit as well. So
I can't wait to see your photographs. When you come back, we'll have to organize an exhibit of your photographs. Maybe we can do that at Butterfly and Moon.
That sounds really fun. And to find out more about the organization here that I'm working at, the website is yantalo.org. And from there, people can read a little bit more about it.
How do you spell that?
Yantalo is Yantalo. And you can find them on Facebook at Yantalo Peru Foundation as well.
All right. Well, we'll make sure we get that information out and share that too. And I just was curious about the infant mortality rate. Is there?
You know, I did have to do a study for class, and I don't remember what the exact statistics are, but it is high here as well. And one of the big things that we've noticed here in this region is that the stunting rates are really high. So stunting is your height for your age. And so you'll notice that a lot of the children here are a lot shorter than they might be in other regions or other cultures, because they just lack some of the important micronutrients in their diet to be able to grow the way that they're meant to grow. So some of the things that we're trying to focus on here specifically, though, with children would be child abuse, domestic violence, dentistry is really important as well. It's like the kids' teeth and teaching them about proper nutrition and whatnot. So those are some of the big areas, important areas that I've seen here just from my small amount of time that I've spent here. But the clinic is fascinating because every month or every couple months, they're able to bring these medical missions down, and they're able to do about 30, 40 surgeries at a time, and they're fixing kids with cleft palates and able to join their nose and their mouth back together. Some kids are born without ears, or just they need plastic surgery because a part of their body wasn't completely formed. Some have tumors or extra fingers or toes, and they're able to remove that as well. So Dr. Vasquez's hope for the clinic is that it will be able to bring health services full-time eventually to the people here, not just medical missions, and they'll be able to come to get whatever it is that they need taken care of.
Wow. I'm going to have to mention this to Joe Morton, who's the CEO of Zango, X-A-N-G-O. They fund a lot of medical mission things related to cleft palates and working with, is it the SMILE organization? What is that organization that helps with the cleft palate surgeries? And I know Zango's been very interested in
it.
Yeah, and then as far as the domestic violence issue, there's an international women's organization that I'm part of called Zonta, Zonta.org, that you can look up. It's a worldwide service and advocacy organization of professional women, and we raise money for programs all over the world and locally that help advance the status of women, and their main mission is to work on ending violence against women. So this is another program that we'll have to see if there's a Zonta club in Peru that might be able to get connected somehow. So anyway, lots of great things. Any closing thoughts as we wrap up and let you go? And thank you so much for calling in from Peru, and this interview will be recorded, so the URL link will continue to work, the same link, and people can listen day or night, 24/7. So continue to share
great,
the link.
Brenda.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on the show as a guest, and on behalf of Carolyn and our team, we just really wanted to thank Brandon Stanton, first of all, for creating Honi and then letting other people run with it in the ways that they do. And we owe so much to the viewers who are jumping right into the conversation and really feeding the stories as well and owning the site in any way that they can. So we're excited to provide the platform, and we can't wait to see like what else happens this year too as we grow a little bit more.
Yeah, and I mean, are you collecting donations through GoFundMe or any organization? Because, I mean, are you paying for all the photography development and camera equipment that you use? Is everything coming out of your checking account and Carolyn's at this point?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, we haven't incorporated or anything yet. So everything that we're doing because we just wanted to do it as a gift for the city. We had no idea it was going
to. That's insane.
Be
yeah. Time,
so
to, time
well
to set up a
we had
nonprofit.
No idea. Yeah, we'll see what happens. And so, for the time being, honestly, everything that I have for camera equipment, I was already working as a professional photographer, so I had. And, you know, it's not too much to maintain it. It's really just like our time and effort at the moment. But we'll see eventually what else we can do, whether that's going to look like selling photographs or making a publication or having other areas of the nonprofit that we can kind of surprise the viewers with. We have a couple surprises up our sleeve right now, and so we're trying to release them.
All right. Well, get in touch with me when you get back from Peru, and we'll help organize some kind of photographic exhibit in St. Charles, cross the river, and maybe build a bridge between St. Charles and St. Louis with the photographic exhibit from your trip. So thank you so much for calling in, and you have a great rest of your volunteer experience. And, you know, we do want to encourage listeners to make a difference and find an organization locally or internationally where you can make a difference. And don't wait, don't delay. You may not get a chance next year or in your 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever you say someday never happens, and you have to make it happen now. So get involved. Hope to see you at Butterfly and Moon, 814 South Main Street in St. Charles, or online at facebook.com/AliveToThrive. And we appreciate your likes and telling your friends about Blog Talk Radio and about this program in particular. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend. Thanks, Lindy.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Brenda. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. You might know me. I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.